You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Start of a new era here at Monday Night Football. Russell Wilson coming back to town. Wilson floats it, the pass caught. Touchdown, Denver Broncos. Smith, Parkinson, touchdown, Seattle. Seattle brings a blitz and they get home.
I'm not sure Russell Wilson would want it any different than it is right now. Down and an opportunity to win this ball game. Williams to the 46 of Seattle. McManus out to try to be a hero here in week one. Missed it. And the Seahawks are going to win this game.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen
what
Jacoby.
Up, dog?
What is it that we do?
We hear the people! What? They won.
Before we break down what was a wild Monday Night Football game, first we have to tell you that in just minutes from this second
Bars!
Right now, Freddie Gibbs will be joining the program. Gangsta Gibbs from GSPN on ESPN in just minutes. But now, let's talk about the end of the Monday Night Football game. We all know what happened. 4th and 5, game on the line. Russell Wilson on the road in Seattle. What do? They let the play clock run down, and then they call timeout to set up a 64-yard field goal. You'll never believe this, Jalen. He missed a 64-yard field goal not once, but twice. Now, so much focus is on this particular play, but the Broncos were discombobulated offensively all night long. 3 delay of game penalties, so many snaps. They snapped it as the time was just clicking down to 1 second rushing the snap. Jalen, we're going to get to the Seahawks in a second, but how alarming was this to you that this offense was so sort of dysfunctional?
Well, the one thing about Coach Hackett now seeing on the screen, when you bring a future Hall of Famer like Russell Wilson to quarterback your team, the one thing you hope that happens is that you can at least manage the time effectively. You hope that you can manage red zone situations effectively. And you also talked about penalties. They had 12 of them, okay? And they also had 2 fumbles. And so what ends up happening now is you make a poor decision like this, almost like you didn't follow football before last night. Nobody thought that field goal was going in. And
no.
I promise you, here's the thing that I love about sports, that we can openly talk about gambling now. Who's the betting person that thought that was a good idea?
I mean, nobody.
And
it also seemed like that was the plan all along. As the clock was ticking, every single person home that's been watching football their whole lives was like, timeout, 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 timeout. And then when they call timeout with 1 second left, they bring on the field goal unit. I was like, oh, this was the plan all along? Not to have Russell Wilson get the ball in his hands with a chance to get a first down, but to have McManus kick a 64-yarder? That's the plan?
So you remember a couple of years ago, Matt LaFleur, and had Aaron Rodgers, and he basically opted not to put the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hands, and that continued to be a decision we talked about. You got Russell Wilson. You just paid him a blank check to quarterback the team. Allow him to try to win the game for you. Allow him the opportunity against his own team to try to win the game for you. You know what it a little bit reminded me of? I can't front, because he's playing against Seattle. It reminded me of the inversion of they're at the goal line, and instead of giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch and letting him punch it in, Russell Wilson throws the ball, and he throws an interception. And since that day, I feel like Deontay Wilder, to this day, I felt like there's an expiration date on the relationship. And you know when it ended? This season. So now if you're Russell in Denver, I'm standing on the sideline like, nah, dog, I'm going for this. We going for this against my former team. Not kicking a 64-yard field goal?
Come on, none of that, Jay. Hackett called timeouts in between kneels after the Seahawks got the ball. I'm sitting there going like, wait a second. Are they going to get the ball back? I was like, oh, no, he's just calling timeouts to make them kneel the ball another time. I'm like, what is happening? What is happening here? What is happening here? But Mr. Rose, we will criticize the Broncos, but I also think it's important to recognize the work of the Seahawks and especially Geno Smith.
Shout to Geno Smith because he woke up today feeling like I just beat Russell Wilson last night. Mm-hmm. And Russell Wilson woke up today like, did I make a good decision? And Pete Carroll's like, I showed him I can win without him. And it wasn't gaudy numbers passing. They didn't light up the scoreboard. But you know what he did do? Play like a safe veteran quarterback that made good decisions with the ball when he needed to. And he didn't lose them the game. Two TD passes. The one thing I was hoping he did is make Lockett have a big game. That didn't happen. It was great to see.
Yeah, I know you needed 14 points in fantasy.
Exactly.
I know you did. Now,
you know,
there's a lot of discussion today about the Broncos and the decision-making and Coach Hackett, but some of the discussion today is about the way the Seattle crowd booed Russell Wilson. Now, I don't like to paint an entire fan base on the behavior of a percentage of the fan base, but what do you think about the way they didn't just boo him at the beginning of the game, they pretty much booed him every time he took the field?
So I'm about to give you some game. This is a perfect example of where a nice guy, quote unquote, finishing last. So let me get this right. I played there for 10 straight years, never miss a game, win a Super Bowl, and there hasn't been a better model for Seahawks football than that gentleman right there.
Good
point. So much so, I got sick of him saying go Hawks after his interview. You see, I got sick of it. You see what I mean? He was invested. And so when they decide to go in a different direction, don't just put it on him. The organization decided as well to go in a different organization. I mean, to go in a different direction. So I thought for us to celebrate their 12s the way we do and the loud noise that they have, I was disappointed in the fact that they turned their back on one of their all-time greats. And I don't think that was a good decision. And so now, when Russell wakes up today, he's not only mad that Coach Hackett went for a 64-yard field goal, and he's thinking about, what did I do? He's also thinking, I should have been left. That's what he's thinking.
Jalen, I like the way you say when he woke up today, right? Because when Russell Wilson woke up yesterday and the Broncos were big favorites to win the game, he put on this suit. You know he thought he was going to win the game. You don't wear that suit unless you think you're going to win. What do you think about the shiny suit, like Puffin Mace?
Shiny suit, man! It's almost like Kanye said, it's like the Bad Boy Street team couldn't work the locks. That's what I thought, to be honest. You know what I mean? That's literally what I thought. He was fly. He was fresh. It was great to see him show up suited and booted, but it would have been better to see him perform and win the game. Now, he balled, by the way. Let me just say this. He balled. He did ball.
They got to the 1 yard line, the half yard line, twice because of him. They got within the 10 in the red zone four times because he got them there. I'm putting the blame on Coach Hackett.
Me too.
You just have,
like,
after the first half, in halftime, say, we're going to get the plays in earlier. You know what I mean? We can't snap it with 1 second of the play clock every single time.
Like, come on, let's go.
Over time and time again. As someone who might have had some financial investment in the success of the Broncos in this one, I was like, how come we're snapping the ball with 1 second left every time? In the fourth quarter, like, y'all couldn't figure this out. Very frustrating. Mr. Rose, time for us to move on because this is ESPN and there's news about the Cowboys. Jerry Jones says that Dak Prescott, when originally projected to be out for 6 to 8 weeks, could return in 3 to 4 weeks. He's not going to be on the IL. This makes little sense to me, given that the man had surgery on his thumb yesterday. You've had surgery on your hand. What do you think about this updated timeline?
First off, Shaq Barrett and that defensive line of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they bullied the Cowboys offensive line. And that wasn't the first time that he was in that position to get injured. And so when he finally got injured, I remember watching the game thinking, as you just said, he's going to miss about 8 weeks because that's how long that injury takes. It's his throwing hand.
Yep.
It's his thumb.
Thumb.
Ain't no way around gripping the ball with it. Ain't no way around ball protection, ball security. It's imperative that that thumb is healthy. When did Jerry Jones
What medical school did Jerry Jones go to? I don't know.
Here's something that I want everybody to take away from what happened to the Dallas Cowboys this weekend. You can't win it all the first week of the season, but you can lose it all.
Yep. Good point.
Can't win it all the first week of the season, but you can lose it all. And for anybody that thought the Cowboys were going to win the NFC, thought that they were going to win the NFC East, thought that they might win the Super Bowl, like, that ain't happening. Not going to be able to do it. None of that is happening. So don't try to rush Dak back, Jerry. This is going to take longer than 3 or 4 weeks, my brother.
Jalen, we have some interesting words from a gentleman you might be familiar with, Wardell Stephen Curry of the Golden State Warriors. He did an interview, and in that interview, he discussed the possibility of the Warriors again adding the services of Kevin Durant. He said the following quote, "If you said, oh, KD's coming back and we're going to play with him, I had so much fun playing with him those 3 years, I'd be like, hell yeah." And he's talking about the franchise, and we all know that Kevin Durant was available this summer, making a move to re-add Kevin Durant to the roster. I look at this like, is there a single player in the NBA that wouldn't want Kevin Durant on their team? Like, is this news?
You ready for this? Especially Steph Curry. Because he did it before KD and after KD. And now he got his finals MVP. So, yeah, he can come run with me.
Sure.
And boost my ring count. Absolutely.
Sure.
Of course he can. And usually the elite players in the league, like a Kevin Durant right now, you can't do a list of best players in the league and get past two or three without saying KD. I'm just being real. Usually that player ain't readily available. You know what I mean? That's what's unique about this situation. Usually the former MVP still in their prime averaging 30 just ain't readily available. You know what I'm saying? And so, like your point, of course people will want him to come play with their squad, but there's a balance of adding KD and diminishing your current roster. And that's why they couldn't really get a real trade partner. And like I told you the entire time, he's so very good and I have him under contract, I'm not moving him anyway. So it was always unrealistic to me that they could come up with a deal to satisfy all sides to trade KD.
Well, I know from you being GM Jalen all summer that if there was a trade that brings Kevin Durant to the Warriors, Steph Curry's no longer on the team. That's what I know about GM Jalen. If you're on the Brooklyn side of the table, yeah, we'll trade you Kevin Durant.
Exactly.
But he ain't going to be running with Steph because Steph is going to be in black and white on the other side of the East River playing for my team. Jalen.
Correct.
In just seconds, one of the best to ever do it. Friend of the show is joining us. Who am I talking about?
Gangsta Gibbs. Freddie Gibbs next on Jalen and Jacoby.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here in the Seaport in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, who is joining us
it's
right now?
It's a family affair. G.I. Gary, Indiana in the building. Gangsta yes. Gibbs is joining yes. Jalen and Jacoby. What up, though?
What up, baby? G.I. to Detroit, man. You already know.
Freddie Gibbs, Gang Gibbs is here. Soul sold separately. When Triple can S. the fans get that on streaming services?
September 30th.
What should people anticipate when they get this album?
Oh, man, it's a lot of, I got Grammy nominated last time. So, you know, I should go right back again with this one. So
Alfredo.
yeah, man. So, you know, you're getting a lot of elements of the Alfredo album on there. And you're getting, you know, some of the Madlib stuff on there, you know. And I brought a Boy Wonder along on this trip with me. And that was, you know, real beneficial toward the project. You know, DJ Paul. Did a joint on the record, man. Rick Ross on there, Pusha T on there, Sway Lee on there. Who else on that joint, man?
It's
probably the most like, yeah, it's probably the most features I ever did on a project, man. So you know what I mean. And it served me well though, because I got to work with different people and really, you know, get to like really, you know, spread my wings a little bit. Moneybag Yo on the single with the Too mm-hmm. Much, you know,
it's available
I mean?
Right now. Too Much anywhere you listen
definitely,
to music,
definitely.
But also, there's range there, because you yeah. talked about Moneybag Yo, doing yeah. a song with Rosé, doing yep. a song with Pusha T. Mm. What is it like for you knowing that you're one of the most versatile MCs in the game?
I think I am the most versatile MC in the game, for sure. You know, I think that I really wanted to display that on Triple S, so that's why went in a lot of different directions and challenged myself musically. I got a song with James Blake. mate. That's my mate. Shout out to James Blake.
So you're from Gary, Indiana. You know, it's Chicago adjacent, so you yeah. become
Gary,
a Chicago Gary. Sports fan.
Right,
and I want to talk to you about your Bears. Didn't look great
from
the first
Justin
half.
Fields.
Little weather situation, but came back and got the win. How do you feel about your Bears right now?
You know what, man? It's like I'm just trying to just, like, I feel the same way Jalen feel about the Lions, man. I'm just trying to just hope something. I'm hoping something happens. I'm praying for a miracle, you know what I mean? And you know, we got that rain in there, and I think that rain kind of helped us, though, you know
kinda.
What I'm saying? Like, you know, I mean, you know, I like Justin Fields, man. I think that he can improve, and hopefully I think that he can improve and, you know, take it to be a top-tier quarterback, because that's really what we need, man. We got to – if he can develop into that leader that we need, then we good. I think that, you know, we just got to put some pieces around him.
I have to ask you, DeMar was killing last year for the Bulls.
Yes.
Hopefully they get healthy with Caruso. Lonzo's not going to start the season. What do you expect from your Bulls this year?
I expect us to be top five in the East, you know. I
yeah.
say that. I like Cleveland right now. I'm going to keep it real.
No doubt.
I was just with DG yesterday, and I was telling him, I was like, I like, you know, y'all team, man. It's you know, I like the energy y'all got. I like the Donovan Mitchell trade. That was
Me
good.
Too.
Mobley. They got a squad. I think
they're
going
to
do something.
Squad.
I got to talk to you about the Bulls a little bit more, because they re-injected some life into the franchise last season. Started out great. Remember how you were feeling about the Bulls early in the season?
yeah.
My question for you, are you concerned about them sort of being – a 5 seed, a 6 seed over and over and over again, and sort of being that dreaded middle?
I think that, you know what, man, DeMar and Zach got off to a good start last year. And I think if they just keep that best duo in the East, you know, energy going, I think that they, you know, they could do some things. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry. Did you say best duo in the East?
In the beginning of the season.
Oh,
they were both averaging
Zach.
Like 28,
there's some other
30.
Duos out there in the Eastern Conference.
In the East, they was the best they was the most efficient duo in the beginning of the season last year, though.
Okay.
They was balling.
They both was pushing
they
30.
Both, before Zach got injured, we was balling, man. You know what I'm
Zach
saying?
Zach got that bag this offseason.
Yeah, he got that bag.
This.
At least he stayed there. He could have dipped. You know what I'm
exactly.
saying? But he got the bag. He stayed. So, you know, and I believe in Billy Donovan, man. I like our coach.
I have to ask this question. There was something really strange that happened this summer. Giannis Antetokounmpo was asked about playing for the Bulls, and normally he's so polished, and he usually just says all the right things.
And you always rap about the Bucks, and you always rap about the Bulls. I can't wait to hear this answer. Please go keep
it. And Giannis is so polished and so media trained. Normally he says the right thing. I love the Bucks. I want to play with the Bucks the rest of my career. But he left the door wide open to join the Bulls. Wide open. When you hear that, how do you feel as a Bulls fan?
You know what? I love that. For the Bulls. And you know what, man? One day I was coming out of my crib in Chicago, and I was walking down the street, and it was right when the Bucks won the championship. And they rode a Milwaukee Bucks bus, championship bus, through Chicago, through downtown.
Oh.
And I was like, huh? So, nah, man, like, that stung right there, man. We got to get our lick back for that. Alone. So if we got to get Giannis to get our lick back, then we going to get it back.
You just gave us some NBA breaking news. So the Bucks, after they won the championship,
yes,
ride through Chicago flexing?
Man,
on
I
the
came
Bulls?
Out the crib. I came out my crib downtown downstairs, and I seen a Milwaukee Bucks bus flexing downtown.
Wow. Because I feel like the Bulls are kind of like the Knicks, like iconic franchises where the league is just better when they're successful. And the Bulls were successful last year. The Knicks haven't been successful since, like, I was born. But
I'll say the Knicks.
No, it's just like it's good when they're good. So I would love to see Giannis with the Bulls. I would just love to see it.
Well, we love you, dog. We appreciate you. Take care of yourself, and we'll be hitting you to come back on frequently to Jalen and Jacoby.
Sold separately. September 30th, Jalen and Jacoby will be back right after this. Game 2 of the WNBA Finals tonight, 9 p.m. on ESPN. The Sun look to even the series against the Aces. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, every day we acknowledge another day, Brittany Griner is still detained in Russia.
Well, wrongfully detained, now 208 days, and as the conclusion of the WNBA season is happening right now, and we're going to celebrate that and enjoy it, it's just hard to ignore the fact that one of its best players, who's a champion, just missed an entire season, and her team could literally be playing in the finals. So we wish her a speedy, safe return to the United States.
It is now time for News That Matters. Jalen, you played 13 years in the NBA. However, I've played for like 25 years in rec leagues. And this is a rec league story, so I love it. Drake bought $100,000 championship rings for winning his rec league. Bought them for the whole team. Mr. Rose, what do you think?
I think that's a boss move. And for anybody out there, anytime you can buy yourself a nice gift, you do it. Matter of fact, I need to go buy me a couple. The rings and things we sing about, we can bring them out. Jalen and Jacoby.
See you tomorrow.
See y'all tomorrow.
We always say we get the people what they want. Part of that is podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Jalen Rose.
What up,
off wax, you revealed something to me yesterday, which is just shocking. Shocking. It's a violation of everything I know to believe about fandom and about sports gambling. I bet on the Lions plus 5.5 points against the Eagles because of you and the relationship that our relationship has brought to me with the Lions. We cover the Lions more than any other show. Even shows in Detroit don't cover the Lions as much as we do. And while I was talking about that, you said to me that you bet against the Lions. So I've been thinking about this a lot since yesterday. To me, it's I think your head is that if my team loses, I'll be emotionally damaged, but at least I'll financially gain. Is that what you're thinking?
Correct. And so the one thing about rooting for your team is different than rooting for the line. Those are two different things. So I didn't bet for them or Michigan. Because I bet against both of their lines this weekend. I didn't bet for them to lose the game. I just bet for them not to cover.
But you understand the option. You have an option of not betting on it, too, just so you know.
There's thousands
of different gambles that you could make. Thousands of them. Why don't you just stay away from betting against your team and just so you can root for them?
I know. And the crazy thing is I bet against both of them. They both basically covered. Michigan covered their 30-point spread, and the Lions didn't lose by four and a half. And I'm going to make it up to both of them by going to both of their games this weekend.
You're going to both games?
Yeah, I believe so.
Wow. Who does Michigan play, do you know?
I'm not sure who either one of them. I'm not even sure who they play.
Okay. Well, we'll have the producers look that up while we talk. But I was shocked.
That's real OG fandom. I don't even care. I don't even know who they play.
I was absolutely shocked because I've been at bars with you on a football Sunday where they've got every single matchup on screens. Every single matchup on screens. And all you do is stare at the Lions game. That's all you do. Like there might as well be only one TV in the bar. That's how much you care about the Lions. Just please don't bet against the Lions anymore. Please don't bet against the Lions anymore, okay? Can we make a pact that you won't bet against the Lions anymore?
You know one of the funniest things ever is when we were in Buffalo and we was at the game with Conway and Monty Caesar and the whole fam that was showing us love. And we both bet on the Lions that day. They was playing the Bears. And I'll never forget, we looked up and they was down like 21-0.
And it was like the first quarter.
And Jacoby and I looked at each other and we got mad that they was losing. And then everybody else was like, y'all bet on the Lions?
The Lions to win? And another thing that was great about that game is they're playing the Texans and like, that game was over in the second quarter. It just turned into a party. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a nail biter where everyone's sitting there watching the field. Yes. It was just like, this game's over. This is a celebration of the Bills.
Yes.
And good for them. Michigan plays UConn, so I think you'll be fine. I think you'll be fine.
Okay, cool.
I think it's always good. Just like we picked the Texans game to go to Buffalo for, the UConn game is a good one to attend at the old Ann Arbor Big House. Jalen, a couple other things I wanted to discuss with you that we haven't really gotten a chance. Oh, wow. Wow. Michigan is a 46.5 point favorite.
See, those numbers, that's what I'm
saying.
Those
are the ones why I would bet on UConn real quick. I'm betting on UConn. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to do it right now before the line changes.
You see
what
I'm saying?
They're not going to win by 47 points.
If they score a field goal or a touchdown, they ain't going to cover that.
But I'm telling you, if Michigan gets up by 35, second stringers, third stringers, freshmen, like you get some playing experience for people at home.
But look at it like this. This is how I looked at the one. This is why I didn't bet that they was going to cover the 30.5. If UConn score one touchdown, they ain't covering.
I mean, my thing is, if you're up by 35 and you're Harbaugh, you're not leaving the starters in. Like, you're not even trying to score. You're just trying to get reps for younger players.
Correct.
So you know, like the walk-ons can say, I played at Michigan. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Oh, man, this is silly. I'm literally betting against Michigan right now on my
phone. Yeah, man. Those lines are too high.
That line's got to
change. If you really look at those college lines, I'm like, man, I'm betting against that, dog. Straight up.
No, this can't be 46. I can't find the game. They won't let
me
bet on
it. Let me hurry up and bet. He's like, I'm about to hurry up.
Yeah, I can't find it. I can't find it. No.
That's crazy. Now you see what I'm saying, dog.
Oh, that's the featured games. Yeah, it's not in the featured games section. I'm going to have to search for this or something. I'm going to make this bet before I move on in this podcast. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, here we go. Connecticut. Plus 46.5. Oh, yeah. There we go.
Man.
Boom. It's in. It's already in.
Man.
Sorry, Wolverines. Love you, but
exactly.
46.5. I can't. Not going to be able to do it at 46.5. So, Jalen.
What up, though?
Danny Ainge said that Utah players didn't believe in each other. He said, what I saw during the season was a group of players that really didn't believe in each other. Like the whole group. I think they liked each other even more than what was reported, but I'm not sure there was belief. Huh. This is the same Danny Ainge just traded the two best players on the team. So what do you translate that for me? You know more about the league than anybody in my phone.
I got an easy translation. Cap. That's cap.
I think when you have to tell the fan base,
correct,
this is why I traded the two best players.
Because here, think about what you said. They liked each other. In other words, I'm not going to feed into the fact that they probably didn't like each other because people are going to talk about that.
They probably
didn't. But they didn't believe in each other. So it's like a semantic. That's basically the same thing as a teammate. Like and belief is basically the same thing when you're trying to win together.
Yeah, but I on my rec league, like, I feel like my teammates really like me, but if I'm open for three and I got the ball, they really go for offensive rebounds a little bit harder.
Right. You know what, they don't believe in you. Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
What's going on in Utah is just so interesting to me. Is there someone that we could talk to about that? Do you know anybody?
Yeah, we try to get D-Wade on the show and talk to him about it.
What about one of the current players?
Let's maybe talk to Jordan Clarkson about it.
Let's get Jordan Clarkson to talk about
Jordan
it, right?
Let's get Jordan Clarkson on the show.
Because I think he's the best player in Utah right now.
He is. He's their best player. He still get buckets now.
Let's get Jordan Clarkson on the show to talk about it. That's one thing I have to do. Jalen Rose, there's a lot to discuss in the world of sports. But a couple things I want to discuss with you is my cruise experience. I went on the Disney cruise with the family, Disney Wish.
Yes.
Went to the Bahamas. Went to Castaway Cay.
Yes.
A Disney private island.
Love it.
Had a great time.
More of this.
Had a great time. Went to Disney World. Let me tell you something about Disney World. Little secret for everybody going to Disney World. They messed up my reservations, right? So I get there. It's hot. It's Florida hot. And it's like 11 in the morning. We just got off a two-hour flight with the kids. Kids are so excited to go to the park. Can't get in. Got to talk to this person. They send me to this person. They send me to that person. Now been an hour. Kids are melting in the sun. They start crying, right? Talk to this person, that person. Finally talk to the final boss. Final boss, we figured out a way to get me in the gates, right? We figured out a little loophole in the system to get me in. However, this is my advice for everybody going to Disney World. They're great at customer service. And if they mess up your reservation or something gets messed up, they make it up to you by giving you lightning lanes. They gave me three lightning lanes for the day. And I said, well, I'm going to be here for 3 days. I want three for every day for my whole posse. Guess what? They did it.
Done.
I didn't wait for anything.
Love.
Disney Genie, the big rides that you can't get in the lightning lanes. But they did it last time. The same thing happened to me. And my advice to people is, if your reservations are messed up, you might want to engineer it so it's messed up and get those passes. That's my advice to everybody. We had a great time. Shout out to the Disney Corporation. Shout out to Disney Cruise. That was amazing.
Well deserved.
Jalen, you see what Carl Anthony Towns said?
What did Big Cat say?
I love this one. I'm going to make sure I get the quote right because it's so good. Man, friend of the show, came on the show, said he was going to win the three-point contest.
Yep.
2 days later, won the three-point contest.
Did it. Done.
He said, quote, I think I'm one of the best offensive players and talents the NBA has ever seen. Mr. Rose.
What up, though?
Carl Anthony Towns saying he's one of the best offensive players and talents the NBA has ever seen. Your thoughts?
He got more work to do. He ain't ready for that yet. And the one thing I want to say is, if you talk about potential and or skill, we haven't seen a 7-footer like him win a 3-point contest that can also block and change shots at the rim. So he is a unique talent. But something happened this offseason to elevate his game, but also mask something about his game also. And that's that he really don't want to bang consistently and play that 5 spot.
It's a good point.
Like, and so if you look at it on paper, you will hope, to be honest, in the league of pace and space, where your 4s and 5s are going to be in a lot of pick and rolls, and they're going to be required to guard a lot of wings and points, that you wouldn't be going with 2 7-footers in your starting lineup, because that's what people are going to be doing to them all day. But the balance of it is, it takes Carl from having to bang like a center. And so based on that, he's talking about now that should also add to his offense. That's why he's so very excited about it.
To be fair to him, like people always pull one part of the quote, he was saying that Rudy Gobert is one of the best defensive talents.
Correct.
And he's one of the best offensive talents, and putting them together is why they did that. But it is an indictment on his defensive abilities that the franchise, the front office, and the coaching staff got together and said, let's give an unprecedented haul of future picks to bring in Rudy Gobert, a seven-footer, when you already have a seven-footer on the roster. Like it does tell you something about the hole in his game. And I like the confidence, you know? Like there's humility, there's overconfidence, and there's like, you know, and there's too much humility. But like if you're going to err on one side, err on the side of being overconfident.
Agree.
You know? But I also, you always have a good first reaction. The first thing you said was got more work to do. Like before you started talking about one of the best offensive players in the history of the game or offensive talents. You know, let's put some championships up. Let's put some MVPs, some scoring titles.
Got more work to do.
Got more work to do.
Got more work to do, dog.
We got some more work to do. We will be back with another dope pod to step to. If you're listening to this right now, we're getting to the end of the pod. After Jalen says we're not done for the second or third time, you call 985-80-JALEN, leave us a voicemail. Because Friday we're doing all voicemails. We're doing voicemails every day. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done. Got the gym to be-